it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest is a hell of a coach, Barrett Perry. He is the Portland State men's basketball coach, and he's joining us right now. You've got kids. I've got kids. Let's talk youth sports before we get into college basketball. How much time do you need to leave in your kid's life to let them be a kid?
Right now, they're getting way too much time. You know, I think that my kids are just missing the schedule and the opportunity to just go and be on their teams and see their friends and do those kind of things, and it's really been a challenge for us as a family. You know, we've got four kids, and they're all into sports and their activities and their teams and their friends, and it's just been so different, John.
I know. I also think there are a lot of parents that are out of control before the pandemic, when it came to youth sports and club sports and private lessons and travel ball, and you and I both got sucked into the volleyball world, and you've been in the basketball world. Let's talk about your own team. How many of those guys, if they didn't play club or AAU, still end up as college basketball players?
Probably half. I think it's a huge part of the scene. I think it creates unbelievable opportunities for the kids that they wouldn't otherwise have, especially in more remote places. But when they get to be on these travel teams and be around the country and get seen by coaches, and gives them an opportunity.
How do you balance that then, as a parent who's got a kid in the club world? How do you give your kid the opportunity without letting it take over their life?
You know, my whole thing with my kids, you know, and it's my daughter's 17, like your daughter, and she's loved volleyball since she started. And so my mentality was, on the whole deal, is as long as she loved it and was working at it, then I was going to support her in every way I could. And she's really taken the ball and run with it, and she'll get to play at the next level and some things like that, which will be fun for her. But I think every kid's different, every kid of what they can handle and how much they're into it, how much they want to do it, you know. I always told myself I was never going to be that parent that just forced them to do it just because I was coaching and, you know, this is what we do. I didn't care what they did, as long as they were passionate about doing something, you know, something that was interesting to them and they found their niche and something that they could really, you know, sink their teeth into and dive into and spend their time wisely.
Barrett Perry is our guest, Portland State men's basketball. What's going on with you guys? Are you practicing? How much can you do? What's the current state?
Well, that's a big question right now. 2 weeks ago, we got our guys back on campus since the season ended. So it had been 7 months. And they all went into quarantine immediately. They all tested a few days ago. We got all negative tests, which was great. And actually today our guys did a walkthrough of the building for the first time. We had probably 7 or 8 of them that had never even been in the building. They got to walk through the building and see how the protocols are going to be as far as coming into the building for the weight room and things like that. We will start weights tomorrow for the first time with this group in 2 groups of 8 with a lot of social distancing and masks. We have not been on the court yet. We're still working diligently with our school as far as being allowed to practice. And then, you know, we haven't been cleared by the OHA. Schools like us in Portland and many others haven't been cleared yet to even practice competitively.
It's frustrating. You know, it's frustrating because if this program was in another county in the same state, you'd probably be running around and have that clearance. But you know, you guys being downtown, can you relocate? Can you bring the kids? You know, could you go out to Woodburn and hold a full scrimmage and be okay?
No, we can't relocate. That would be against NCAA rules. But, you know, we're all going to, you know, us in Portland are your best example. We're going to be doing all the NCAA testing and everything that's asked of us, you know, nationwide. We're going to be following all the same protocols as Oregon and Oregon State are. And so we just need to get the sign of approval from the government's office.
Barrett Perry is with us. How do you feel about, you know, you got a season, it looks like. I was encouraged when I saw the Pac-12 come back. I was, encouraged to see that, you know, you've got some testing available. How are you feeling about the upcoming season, and how will it be different?
How will it not be different? You know, that's my question. I think everything will be different. You know, as we go through everything, you know, even pregame meals will be different. You know, so many of the things that we're learning about how this COVID thing is going on is things that we need to change and adjust and do things like. You even saw the NFL the last week or 10 days say, you know, no more team meals, no more team meetings, everything needs to be Zoom. So we're constantly going to be adjusting and trying to do things better and safer and do what's very, very best for the kids, of course, because, you know, that's going to be the most important deal is make sure they have a safe, good, great experience as far as being college athletes and coming through our school. And I think every coach in America wants the same thing. It's just to have the kids safe and get a chance to play and compete and try to get things to where they have that experience that they dream of having.
Talent-wise, how do you feel about the team? You've got some guys that you lost with, your senior class last year, and then you have Holland Woods, transferring to Arizona State. How will you guys pivot this season? How do you feel about the talent?
Well, I think this is our best talent that we've had from top to bottom. This is our best roster. You know, we have three or four high major transfers that came in. We have some really good high school kids. I like our returners. I think we have a very good blend of guys. But there's no doubt in my mind that this is our best roster from top to bottom. So we're itching to get on the court with them. You know, we want that opportunity and get them out there. You know, I will say this, you know, we've had an unbelievable summer in so many ways in our experience and just trying to get to today. And every single day it's kind of like, okay, we just got to get to tomorrow with this. We've got a really good group of guys that have really handled adversity and handled this situation and handled the new normal really, really well.
I remember it was, you know, you guys essentially at the conference tournament turns into a wedding, right? And then, you know, here it feels like so long ago, remember?
Yeah, and you know, you and I talked one of those nights in Boise, I think probably the night the season was ended after Jason Lindsay's wedding. And honestly, we basically hadn't seen the team or been on the court with the team since. You think about how long that's been. But we have not been on the court yet. We hope to be on the court sometime next week and get things going little by little. Our school is working really hard to help us get in a position to do that, and everybody's really, really making a good effort.
You've got some transfer players that I think people are excited to see. Amari McRae, James Scott, he comes from Temple. You got, Khalid Thomas coming home after being at Arizona State. How will those guys all fit?
You know, I will plug them in. I think one thing about 2020, everything is so not traditional anymore, and not a 2020 COVID talk, but just kids move around and kids change teams starting at a young age. And so I think coaches are used to the same thing. I think you try to accumulate talent that, and also have them be really good kids and then try to put them together. This summer has been a little bit odd because I think we've really prided ourselves on the fact that we do a good job of molding teams and getting kids to really trust in what we do and who we are and having relationships. That has definitely been slowed and something that we've had to be very creative on. But our talent level is good. You know, some of those guys you talk about, you know, Charles Jones gets to come home after being at the University of Utah. Elijah Hardy transferred here from Washington. We got a very good high school guys coming in. I like the talent a lot. I think their character is really good, and so we're dying to get on the floor with them.
Yeah, I'm excited to see you guys play. You lose some non-conference games. Have you talked at all sort of about what it will be like? You know, a schedule that, you know, looks like it will start, is that December 3rd at the Viking Pavilion against Weber State?
Yeah, the week before, you know, the official day, as you know, is November 25th. We're going to start out at an MT at the University of Washington with Washington, San Diego, and Fullerton, and we'll kind of all flip-flop opponents for the Thanksgiving weekend. And then we come home and play Weber in a couple of games. The Big Sky schedule, like many schedules, are turning into nationwide, you know, to cut down on travel and cut down on risk, things like that. We'll play the same opponent twice on a weekend. So Weber coming in here on that Thursday, the 3rd, we will also play them again on the 5th. And as we go through the league schedule, you know, you've got 5 home weekends and five road weekends, but you'll play the same team twice. And that's all COVID, you know, generated as far as just trying to cut down on the travel, the airports, the hotels, the changing of cities and all those kind of things. That was the mindset behind all that with the league.
Do you like doing that? Do you like playing kind of what, you know, will be like a doubleheader same weekend, you get another shot at the team, or advantage, disadvantage? How do you think those second games will be?
I have no idea. I think you could see some really random scores. You know, I think you could win a game by 20 on a Thursday night and be immature and let down and lose a game by 20 on Saturday against the exact same team, or vice versa. I think that since none of us have really been through that at this level, it's going to be interesting. You know, it'll kind of feel like early, you know, in a playoff series with the NBA, you know, it's like, how do they win by 20 in game one and then lose, you know, yeah, on the same home court? So it'll be interesting, but I don't think any of us have a lot of answers for it yet because we haven't experienced it. It's just going to be so odd and different.
Yeah, I keep coming back to, you know, we're all getting by, right? And, you know, a lot of times we think about the kids, we talk about the kids. What about being a head coach? How do you, because you're so result oriented, right? You have games to coach. You have, you know, you have something to plan for. I know the football coaches were struggling a little bit when the games were taken away. How did you do with the idea that, you know, that murky idea of a season maybe happening or maybe not happening?
You know, our biggest challenge was just to try to say, hey, business as usual, let's move forward, you know, and we're continuing to do that because, you know, nobody really knows how it's going to actually go down or how it's going to happen or how it's going to end. But I tried to keep a routine. You know, I was still trying to come to the office. I was still trying to stop at McDonald's as I left my driveway for a Diet Coke and just kind of go from there and keep my routine. And honestly, when I didn't have my routine, I was really going nuts. And so my wife was, especially early on when we were all supposed to stay home, my wife was kicking me out the door going, would you please drive through McDonald's and get your Diet Coke so you won't be so cranky and screwed up. So
That's
how it went, and nothing's changed 7 months later.
What'd you think about the NBA bubble? You must have watched those games. I thought it was pretty good basketball.
I thought it was. I thought they did a good job. You know, early on, I think you and I chatted about the fact that early on in the season with it, when they got down there, maybe some of the teams were a little sloppy or a little bit banged up or whatever as they were trying to get in shape. You and I talked about some of those crazy high scores. But then as teams got in shape and settled in, really got in their routine and got to know each other, you know, I think that's what you're going to see a lot of, maybe with my team and a lot of teams, is just trying to get to know each other early on in this season. But as they went through it, you know, the best players kind of shine through and the best teams shine through. But it was really interesting to see the two teams that ended up in it. You know, everybody wanted to talk about the Clippers, and then they didn't make it. The Lakers were there, and then Miami doing their thing was really inspiring, encouraging for a lot of people because they were a really fun team to watch.
I thought it was interesting, too, to kind of see the teams in the regular season that looked like they were headed nowhere, and then all of a sudden they got in the bubble and played really well. Was there a surprise for you that the Clippers went the way they did, or were you surprised by some of the good performances in the bubble that maybe were a little unexpected?
Yeah, you know, Phoenix was the one that stood out for me. You know, they went down there and didn't lose the game and rolled right through it. They got to be chomping at the bit to try to get back with each other and get going again. They have to be really, really excited. And then there's some other teams that, you know, Clippers is what you brought up. But Clippers, you know, being a team that's looking in the mirror now going, okay, we got to figure this out a little bit better because that's not what we wanted. And then, you know, Milwaukee was one that was disappointing. There was a few of them like that. The Sixers are trying to find themselves a little bit, so it'll be interesting.
I wish you the best. I want to have you back on, especially in front of the first games and you know, keep tabs on your team, get to know your team a little bit. And I appreciate what you're doing and the investment you make in kids and the dad you are. You know, you're more than just a basketball coach, but the dad you are and the example you are for a lot of people out there that, you know, are home with kids, trying not to go crazy, me included. My kids are right outside the door right now.
Hopefully my wife's not, well, hopefully she is listening, but yeah, she's the one that deserves all the credit. She's at home right now. She has no idea I'm even on the radio, so she wouldn't care anyway. She'd be like, I hear you all the time. But the biggest thing is you and I have joked about this through text and calls, is how about the fact that in COVID now, all kids think that there definitely has to be dessert at night. You know,
I know.
You got to figure out some dessert at night because COVID, because we're stuck at home. So it's like, right. Dad, what's for dessert every night? It's like, come on.
Yeah, I've had that conversation. I didn't get dessert.
I was in Dairy Queen drive-thru last night thinking about you, just going, here we go. We got dessert again. Here we go.
You have to do it. Our six-year-old is the queen of that. She's like, what's for dessert? And I'm like, I never said that as a kid. You know, I was on my own.
No, that was going to be like, hey, Saturday, maybe Dad's going to take us for some ice cream or something. That'll be great. But like dessert every night after we just had spaghetti or whatever.
No.
Yeah, whatever.
Barrett Peary, you're the best. I appreciate you. Thanks for catching up with us. We'll catch you soon.
Anytime, brother. Appreciate you.
All right. Barrett Peary, men's basketball coach, Portland State. What's for dessert? That's a good question. Leave it here. It's coming up. Two biggest things going on in the world of sports. I thought yesterday's show was really good, and the 2 o'clock hour was kind of a highlight. We had good guests yesterday. Merton Hanks was on the show yesterday, Pac-12 supervisor of football. Earlier in the week, we had F. King Alexander, Oregon State's new president. Today, Barrett Peary, good stuff from him. Later in the week, we've got some big guests coming down the pipeline as well. Judah Newby, it is a weird time in sports. Alabama Adriana, it's a weird time in sports. Alabama Adriana, you are a Portland State graduate. I always bring on the Portland State coaches and administrators because I feel like that is a Division I program. I want to give them platform. I am feeling, especially for a place like Portland State right now, because football has been moved to the spring. Basketball is happening, but they don't have the resources in the Big Sky Conference that the Pac-12 has. It's a bigger challenge. What should Portland State do? What do you guys have thoughts on Portland State right now? Because they're in no man's land.
They are in no man's land. I think they're doing what they can, especially with the limited, you know, time and available. You heard Coach Peary talk about these guys are getting on campus, seeing the pavilion for the very first time, had to quarantine when they got there. You have to make the most out of
it. We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.